Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. On the line joining us this morning is Dr. Cindy Driscoll. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Do I call you doctor?
Oh, you can call me anything.
How about Cindy?
Cindy's fine.
Great, great, great. You're headquartered at the Oxford Lab. Tell people where that's located.
Oxford's a wonderful little town on the eastern shore, kind of mid-shore, I guess. If you're on Route 50 heading towards the beach and you pass by Easton, one of the right-hand turns that you would take is to go west again towards the bay, and Oxford's a little town off the Choptank River.
Right. Very good. Thank you very much for that. Now, Cindy, you've been with DNR for quite a while.
Yes, on and off since 1992.
There you go. And one of your first assignments was to go check out a dead critter.
Well, we have a lot of dead critters.
Well, tell us about that. You got a lot of dead critters. Now, you're primarily interested in the larger the larger sea mammals, the dolphins, the porpoises, the whales, and
right.
So
we
forth.
Have the Fish and Wildlife Health Program out of the Fisheries Service in Department of Natural Resources.
Right.
And located at Oxford is our Marine Mammal and Sea Turtle Stranding Program.
Right.
And we ask people to call if they see a marine mammal or sea turtle in distress, to call our 800 number, and that's 800-628-9944. And I hope maybe we can repeat that once in a while.
Oh, we'll repeat that every now and then, that's for sure. But
yeah.
I'd like to get more into the specifics of the, you know, how many sightings in the Chesapeake Bay and how many critters we have in the bay that people, you know, sometimes pay attention to and sometimes don't. We've got a number of marine mammals that inhabit our bay from time to time.
That's right. And our stranding program has documented, let me start back and say that in 1990 we created the stranding program at the Oxford Lab, and we combined that with the National Aquarium. They decided that they were not interested in doing the dead marine mammal strandings, but would do the live marine mammal strandings.
Sure.
Sea turtles. So we kind of split it up that way back then. So today, even 23 years later, that's what we do, and we help each other out. So they do mostly the live strandings and help us out with dead ones, and we do mostly the dead ones and help them out with live ones. And our total marine mammal strandings from 1990 to present for the dead ones is 325.
325 critters in the last 20 years that have that have been found
dead on the beaches.
Dead on beaches, struck by boats, and do you have I'm sure you do the CSI work on these creatures when you find them. What is the main cause of their demise?
We find that they are boat struck. Some of them are boat struck, the ones in the bay more than the ones on the coast.
Right.
And then a lot of times it's disease. We know that they have disease naturally in the environment.
Right.
And we find them from all kinds of reasons. Sharks as well, and that's inside the bay and outside the bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that we have bull sharks in the bay that are pretty aggressive predators, and sea mammals and turtles and that type of thing can be considered food sources.
That's right, and especially the smaller marine mammals. This time of year, bottlenose dolphins are moving north up the coast and into the bay
right.
with their young of the year, and sharks find them quite attractive, I guess. They're
sure.
smaller and easier to attack, so
we
often get them stranded on the beach with shark bites.
As a kid, we used to vacation in southern New Jersey, and of course we'd get down to the beach and along the Atlantic coast there. And the first time I'd ever seen any kind of marine mammal was off the coast of New Jersey. That I'm 40 some years ago, big large creatures in a pack or a pod, I guess we would be more precise, but they appeared to be 15, 16 feet long. They didn't appear to be bottlenose dolphins as you know, everybody thinks of flipper.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was calling them porpoises. How big does a porpoise get?
Well, porpoises in our region are a bit smaller than dolphins. They're
okay.
only about 4 feet long.
Right.
And they can be told a little bit differently. They have a kind of a triangular-shaped dorsal fin, small dorsal fin, mm-hmm. because they're smaller.
Right.
And the bottlenose dolphin has kind of a sickle shape,
right.
or what we call falcate dorsal fin, so it looks different. And then the bottlenose dolphins that we have off of our coast are mostly the inshore bottlenose dolphins. We also have offshore varieties, which are bigger, maybe 9 or 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The ones inshore are maybe 7 feet, 6, 7 feet, like that.
So what would I have seen?
Well, it's hard to say, you know, without knowing. If you saw something with a blunt face.
Right, which that seems to be.
That long, it might have been a pilot whale.
Pilot whales
have that big, blunt head.
Do they travel in small pods?
Yes, they do.
Okay, well, that clears that up.
A pretty cool sighting.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, and you know, people were saying, oh, those are porpoises and that type of thing, and I had no idea. I was a kid, you know, and so that's good to know. But I've always wondered about that, especially after I've seen you have plenty of different things online that are available through the program that you've sent me. Talks about the different marine mammals. There's actually a seal identification guide there that, you know, we see different seals every now and then. We hear about seals being washed up on the beach, and mostly harbor seals, I believe, that we hit on our coastal beaches. Is that right?
Yes, harbor seals and harp seals are probably the most common ones that we get. But we get gray seal strandings periodically and hooded seals.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, we actually had a hooded seal that was reported by citizens in St. Michael's. And, you know, sometimes you get these calls and you think people don't know what they're looking at. So we sent some people over to take a look at it, and sure enough, it was a little hooded seal on somebody's grassy lawn.
Hmm.
And we called the aquarium. They came down, took the animal, examined it, and re-released it down at Assateague, where it should have been, shouldn't have been up in the Chesapeake Bay. But
right.
We do get seals in the bay periodically, too.
Hmm. No sea lions, though, like they do on the West Coast.
No sea lions. We don't have them on the East Coast.
Right, but any number of you just named four different species of seals: harbor seals, gray seals, hooded seals, and harp seals. Now, the harp seals are the ones that people are most familiar with the, you know, the little baby seal pups that everybody's trying to.
That's right. Those cute little white ones with the big black eyes, right?
Yeah, that's the ones.
Yeah. So we get them as a little bit older animals, and they usually have kind of grayish or light-colored coat with big black patches on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as adults, they actually are much whiter with big, large black patches on
mm-hmm.
them.
Whereas you'd be a little hard-pressed to tell the difference between, let's say, a harbor seal and a gray seal.
Right. I think most people wouldn't know the difference. They would just know that it's some type of seal.
Yeah.
But
good.
Our Stranding Network people are trained to recognize them.
Sure.
National Aquarium does a really good job of identifying these animals. They have a group of volunteers down at the beach that helps them out when there are
sure.
sightings of these animals at Assateague or Ocean City or in the bay. And the Marine Animal Rescue Program at the National Aquarium is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about turtles for just
okay.
before the break. We have sea turtles in the bay.
And we have lots, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people, primarily I'm thinking in the southern bay. I don't think we get the turtles too far north of, let's say, Chesapeake Beach, do we?
Not too far north, but, you know, we do get sightings periodically, and we do get strandings periodically. In fact, back in 92, we had a leatherback sea turtle in the Chester River.
Really?
Yeah. I actually got a call. It was a funny story. I got a call from a guy at 9 o'clock on a Saturday evening saying he saw a sea monster and kind of described this undescribable thing, and I couldn't quite determine what it was, and this is before email attachments were common. And
right.
So I faxed him some identification sheets, and he called me the next Monday and said it was a leatherback sea turtle, and I said, well, that's nice, but we don't really have them that far north, because that's north of the Chesapeake Bay. And don't you know, within 2 days, we had a dead leatherback. It was a boat-struck leatherback with propeller marks all down its back
mm-hmm.
on Chester River Beach. So, you know, you just never know what
people
are going to call in, right?
You do
so
never
they do
know.
Come up. We don't often get them as stranded animals. We sometimes get them as sightings, so we do want to hear about them as well.
Again, early on in my time in the mid-'80s, we're fishing out of Point Lookout, that area. And we had a number of outdoor writers on the boat at that time. Dr. Guilford was there. He was on boat with us, and we were fishing, catching, you know, the odd bluefish and occasional striped bass and sea trout and things like that. And it was a pretty good day. And right behind the boat, we had a giant head. I mean, this turtle had the head of a sea turtle, had the head like a bowling ball size.
Wow.
It was pretty unbelievable.
Was it a hard-shelled turtle?
Yes, it was a hard-shelled turtle. And
probably a loggerhead.
Probably a loggerhead, exactly right. And that's what I was thinking. And I don't know that Dr. Guilford identified it, but we were all pretty, you know, we all watched as it, you know, swam around the boat. It stayed with us for quite a while, and pretty fascinating to watch. So, but yeah, that was my one and only sighting of a loggerhead in the Chesapeake Bay down south, and so, and it was huge. I mean, it was just, you know, they're incredibly large and graceful creature. No question about that.
They're amazing.
Indeed.
They eat horseshoe crabs and sometimes blue crabs in the bay. Horseshoe crabs along the coast, and they come in the bay to feed, too. We get reports of them periodically. They're large animals. They're kind of cinnamon-colored shell with a really large head. That's why they're called loggerhead, because
of course,
their head
yeah.
is so much bigger than even, say, a green turtle or a Kemp's Ridley, which is another turtle that we get in the bay, in the lower part of the bay more
sure.
than the upper part. And the Kemp's Ridley is the most endangered turtle in the world, so
yes.
we get them in the bay. So it's kind of cool that we have this wonderful mix of marine mammals and sea turtles in the bay.
It is, indeed. Now, let me ask this question. Do we have turtle spawning grounds here in Maryland at all on the beaches?
Well, funny that you should ask that, because
okay.
over the past few years, we've documented some sea turtle nests at Assateague, on the north end of Assateague, and we've excavated the nest past the point where they could have been viable. So, you know, a month or so after the date that would have been viable. And
right.
we've documented the stage of development where they stopped, usually because of cold weather or maybe there was a washover
mm-hmm.
on Assateague. And this past summer, we had a loggerhead that laid a nest at the north end of Assateague in July. And in late October, we went and were excavating the nest and found live hatchlings. And it's the first time this far north that anybody's documented live, naturally hatching sea turtles. So the National Aquarium, I was fortunate to have them with me that day. I called them the day before and said, you know, I'm going down to excavate this nest. Would you
sure.
like to come along? And luckily, they did, and they brought materials and tubs that could take the animals back, if indeed they were alive, which nobody really expected to find. But Tammy Pearl works for the National Park Service, and Allison Turner
mm-hmm.
were there. And as they were removing the eggs, we were counting the number of eggs, but there was 162 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we said. And when they pulled up the first few eggs, they were actually little turtles coming out, little hatchlings coming out. So it's kind of amazing. And that turtle, the one turtle that survived, two of them died of bacterial infection, but the one turtle that survived went to the aquarium and was treated by them and moved to North Carolina to a more appropriate, warmer climate. And
mm-hmm.
they're going to be releasing that animal soon. It's still doing very well.
That's terrific. That's
an amazing story.
That is. That's a
yeah.
tremendous story. That's for sure. Now, you mentioned the National Aquarium, and just saw here in the last couple of days that the National Aquarium in Washington, D.C., is going to be closing and transferring a number of its creatures to Baltimore and other places. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I used to work for the Department of Commerce, and that's where that aquarium
right.
is. And it's in the basement of the building, and I understand that they're going to be renovating that building. And the aquarium has been working with the National Aquarium has been working with those folks for years on the animals that they have in their collection. So
yes.
it's going to be a natural fit for them to move those animals, I would guess.
Yeah. Now, we do have the National Aquarium here in Baltimore. We have a number. It's a tremendous educational
it sure is.
Venue for you know, thousands and thousands of people every year to get to see what's not only in the bay but in our oceans and around the country and around the world, actually. But the question I have is, when you find these stranded marine animals, if they can be rescued, are they then re-released into the wild, or do they become more attractions at the National Aquarium? Or does it depend on the circumstance?
They're released to the wild, but I can tell you that a lot of the animals that we get as single-stranded animals are really not in very good shape. They come in for a reason. They're usually quite sick.
Right.
And they may have to be put down, so they don't always come in and become part of a collection. They might have to be put down.
They might have to be put down,
right.
Sure. And, yeah, well, and that's only right to do
that's
that.
That's the most humane thing in usual cases. But sea turtles, on the other hand, are a little bit more resilient. So when they come in, there's an amazing group of people that work with the sea turtles there that rehabilitate them and then put them back out. And several years ago, we actually had a turtle that we found we had a study with our pound net. And it was a wonderful study for about 6 years, where if they caught turtles in their nets in the Chesapeake Bay, they would call us.
Right.
They always release them, so there's not a problem there.
Right.
But they would call us, so we would go and tag them, take a blood sample, and pit tag them, and then release them. So it was a great thing. But we found a turtle that was kind of ill-looking, so we took it up to the National Aquarium, and they worked on it. It had kind of a divot in its shell, and they repaired that, and after a few months, we released it into the bay. It was a really good story, so those folks up there do a really good job.
Sure. Well, Cindy, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll take three breaks this hour, so we'll signal you when we're ready to do that.
Good.
But for people who may have to leave us, if you find a stranded animal, we're going to give that number out one more time. While you're out boating, stranded turtle, stranded dolphin, stranded porpoise, stranded whale, 1-800-628-9944. Write that down, put it in your wallet if you're out on the water. And if you find a dead critter, like we just mentioned, there's a different number for that, and that's
no, actually, you can just use that
same number.
Yep. Oh, uh-huh.
Very
that
good.
Makes
okay.
It easy. Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. Stranding, sightings, and that type of thing. 1-800-628-9944.
Thank you.
Now you're quite welcome. Time for me to tell you folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Yes, indeed. It's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge underway. You could win great prizes, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active-duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yeah! Here comes Amos! Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. It just knock them in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos.
Hey, we're with Dr. Cindy Driscoll of the Oxford Lab talking about large marine animals. Now, Cindy, we don't have any alligators here in Chesapeake Bay, do we?
Well, not on a regular basis. Well, somebody will get one and
now we,
release it.
But yeah, we've heard that. Exactly. So, but they are certainly a popular creature these days with the advent of all the cable television shows. That's for sure.
That's so, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be kind of nice to have them, but it is.
Well, one thing that we do have that is an unusual animal is a manatee. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And by the way, just to let our listeners know that we are taking phone calls at 410-922-6680. If you have any questions for Dr. Cindy Driscoll, she'll be more than glad to answer them. So, but yeah, go ahead. Tell us about a manatee.
So we did not know that we had manatees, even though according to old historic records, manatees were in the bay from the 1600s when John Smith was coming up the bay. So we knew that they had been here at some times, but
sure.
In our time, we did not know of manatees until 1994. We started getting sightings. I got sightings. I was actually working for the federal government at the time as the first marine mammal and sea turtle veterinarian for the Office of Protected Resources, and I got a phone call saying that there was a manatee in the Susquehanna River. And I said, well, I don't think that could be because manatees wouldn't be in the Susquehanna River. Do you realize how far north that is? And the person said, yes, I do, but this caller said that they saw a manatee. And I said, well, tell them thanks and get their information. And, you know, it was probably a log because sometimes we get reportings of floating logs as being marine mammals.
And, right, sure.
But then the next couple of weeks I got calls about manatee in the Elk River and Sassafras Rivers, which you know isn't very far away from Atlanta.
Right across the bay.
And so I went and started looking up in Langford Creek was the next sighting up near Chestertown. And
sure.
Didn't see anything, but saw evidence that it could have been a manatee, and people described what sounded like a manatee. In fact, one of them described a manatee as something with a pizza pan tail, big
right.
round tail,
okay.
and just a big animal with whiskers on its face. So I said it certainly sounded like a manatee, and I contacted Fish and Wildlife Service and alerted them because it certainly sounded like we had manatees. And within, so that was when the Susquehanna River sighting was July 31st in
right.
1994. And then later that summer and into the fall, we had sightings throughout the Chester River, and it wasn't until October the 1st that we actually caught that manatee, but he was seen throughout the preceding few weeks in Queenstown. So we tried several times capturing him and were unsuccessful. I say we, the National Aquarium and Department of Natural Resources Police, all of our volunteers, and SeaWorld was flown up here, and Fish and Wildlife Service was wonderful. So we all did it together and got in the water and circled the animal with a couple of nets and kind of cinched him up on land, took him by truck to the aquarium where he was dropped in to their rescue pool and stayed there for a couple of days under observation and blood work and was determined to be in really good shape. So the U.S. Coast Guard, which is one of our wonderful partners as well, flew him to Florida, and we outfitted him. I was lucky enough to go on that transport with David Schofield, who was the stranding coordinator at the time for the aquarium. And we went to SeaWorld with the animal, put a pit tag, put a satellite tag around his peduncle, and put him in a pool. They released him in a couple of days. And the next year, 1995, because he had a satellite transmitter on him, he was actually found in Connecticut and Rhode Island.
Wow.
And to this day, we get sightings and strandings of manatees up and down the coast. New Jersey gets them pretty regularly, sightings. And then maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, there was a cold stunned manatee in October and November up in Massachusetts that they tried to rescue, and it was unsuccessful. The animal died. But we get periodic sightings of Chessie because of the scar patterns on his back.
Really?
Yeah.
How long does a manatee live?
I guess there's the jury's out on that, but they're pretty long-lived animals. In fact, they have them in captivity, and we know that dolphins can live up to 50 years. There
right.
was a dolphin in captivity that lived up to 50 years, but we'll have to wait and see what the longest one is for a manatee.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah, and then in 2010, we actually had a dead manatee found in the Patuxent River. So we know that they come up into the bay. They feed here. It's probably wandering youngsters, so mm-hmm. we think that they're not full adults, but they're 10 and a half, 11 feet long. So
that's a youngster, huh?
Yeah, well, that's a full adult, but youngsters can be that. You know, they can
sure.
be the same length, but just be immature.
I gotcha.
And if we get sightings of those, we certainly want to hear about that because we want to make sure that our federal partners are aware of where they are. And that's the thing with marine mammals and sea turtles. It's not just, aren't they wonderful and they're in the bay, but the federal agencies and the state governments need to know where they are and when they are so that they can make regulations and make sure that they're protecting them and that they're not interacting with people too much.
Sure.
So, and that's prohibited, of course, under the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act. So that's one of the things I wanted to make sure that I talked to you about was it's not legal to feed them, and it's not legal to jump in the water and interact with them.
Right.
You can't get your boats too close to them, and especially for whales, the North Atlantic right whale is another one of our severely endangered species and the most endangered whale along our coast.
Well, hang on to that thought for a minute there. Cindy, if you would, we've got a caller on the line, and we do have to take another quick break here. So
okay.
just stay with me here. We're gonna hook up Dale from Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning. Alan, I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Driscoll back in the Fisteria days.
Oh, my.
Cindy, we had...
the hoax that was,
oh,
huh?
Oh, my Lord. That was some interesting times together. You and I and Rudy and Harley, and it was...
Oh, Rudy, yeah, and Harley, yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's, those are the days, huh?
That's another show unto itself.
Yes, indeed.
Cindy, when you discover or a stranded whale is called in, and I've heard some good whale stories about you and the rain gear and the axes and the saws, but...
Yow! Well, I don't know if we want to go there.
What obviously you can't move the dead animal. What do you look for on a stranded whale?
That's a good question. That's a good question. The first thing we do is identify the species, because not everybody knows what the species is when it strands. They just know that it's something big on the beach, and usually it's on the coast, but once in a while we get one in the bay. We had one in 99 up on Love Point on Kent Island, so you never know where they're going to show up, but mostly it's on the coast. So the first thing we do is document the species. Then we document what the condition is. Is it really fresh, or is it really decomposed? And for our purposes, if it's fresh, then the necropsy is going to take a lot longer because we take a lot of biological samples looking for disease or normal tissues as well. And if it's decomposed, then we take it apart, and sometimes there are indications of what the animal has been feeding on. So it depends on what we're looking for. We always look for signs of human interaction on the outside, say a propeller strike or maybe a large ship strike. So many of these large whales are actually found on the beach with crushed skulls. They've just gotten in the way of a large ship. And that the ones that we find in the bay are almost always crushed skulls.
Mm-hmm. And that's from getting hit by ship propellers and things like that. And they're attracted to that noise, that vibration, so to speak, are they not?
I don't know if they're actually attracted to it.
Or maybe it just screws up their sonar.
Yeah, they can't get out of the way. You know,
right.
They're big animals and they're slow and, you know, nobody wants to hit a whale. We did have one just a few years ago. Coming up the bay, there was a whale on the bow of a ship, a sei whale,
mm-hmm.
and the boat operator, the pilot of the ship, said that he realized that something was on the ship, but he couldn't stop. And then when he stopped, a boater that was passing by, it was actually just north of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, a boater that was passing by said that there was a whale on the bow of a ship. So
yeah.
They called us, and we...
And that's where he picked it up, because the day before that of that report... I was crossing the Bay Bridge and saw the whale floating north of the Bay Bridge.
Is that right?
Yes. And the day after, or 2 days after that, it wound up on the bow of this ship.
Hmm.
So, it was. He had not, per se, hit that whale himself, but he picked it up on the I can't remember what the structure is on the front of a freighter, but he had picked it up on that.
Bulbous bow.
Bulbous bow. That's exactly right. That's what he picked it up on.
Because we get them periodically, so this might have been a different one.
It could have been. And it was a number of years ago. I'm going to say it's probably the same one that that you're talking about that they found it on in the harbor that was reported on the ship. So. But that whale was floating in the bay, and he picked it up on his way into the Baltimore Harbor.
Well, interesting.
Yep.
I'll talk to you about that after we're finished.
Yeah, we'll be glad to do that. So, Dale, anything else, buddy?
No, just like I said, I wanted to say hi to Cindy. We had some wonderful times together.
And there you go. All right.
Great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Alan. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Nice to see you
now. Thanks, Dale. Okay, Cindy, we do have to take another short break, and we'll be right back after I tell the folks about some of our sponsors.
Thank you.
Indeed. Let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. If you need anything for fishing, anything for hunting, if you need a firearm for protection, if you need ammunition, if you need boots, if you need particularly Browning firearms. You know, they carry all the Browning firearms, the X-Bolt rifle, the 725 Sporting Clays over and under shotgun, the Satori is what that's known as. They carry the semi-automatic shotguns and the Maxis and the silver and the gold, and they carry the pump action BPS shotguns, in particular for you turkey hunters. They even carry a 10 gauge in the Mossy Oak Infinity Camo for turkey hunting. So, you know, you can check all that out at Clyde Sports Shop if you're looking for trolling tackle, trout fishing, pan fish, bass fishing, you name it. They've got it. Even have reel repair and they'll wind your line on your spool for you. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. 242-6108 is the phone number, 410-242-6108. And the fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 247-3474. If you want to call for an accurate and up-to-date fishing report, you can do that. Website is ClydeSports.com, two S's in the middle, Clyde Sports Shop. Now, excuse me, I've been having frog issues in my throat here all morning. You may have noticed or may not, but we try to go off the air and clear those out a little bit before we continue to talk. But I'd like to tell you about Papa John's. If you enjoy gardening or just like flowers around, I always recommend Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or by the flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets too, beautiful hanging baskets, a whole greenhouse full, as a matter of fact, colorful pansies and patience, vincas, petunias, they've got the proven winter specialty plants as well. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants ready to start in your garden. Tasty tomatoes and squash and watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, herbs and cucumbers, you name it, they've got it. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97, exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses, make your selections, or you can call them at 410-969-5909. Now think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your farm or for your garden or for your church. Mother's Day is tomorrow. Take your mom to Papa John's, pick out, you know, a selection of flowers for her, something that she's picked and she's liked, and you'll be the hero. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. You can call them 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just up Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bed Liner.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Bruce Vail. Is your voice hurting your career? A whiny tone or a bad habit like talking too loudly can turn off coworkers and even hiring managers. New research shows the sound of a person's voice strongly influences how he or she is perceived. And a study of speeches by executives shows the sound of a speaker's voice matters twice as much as the content of the message. Fair or not, others automatically judge you by the quality of your voice. People with breathy or rough voices are perceived as weak. Those with normal voices are seen as sexy and successful. Some voice problems have medical causes, and impaired hearing can cause people to talk too loudly. But the good news is most people can change the quality of their speaking voice. A speech pathologist can help you ease many voice problems through therapy and exercises to support the voice with improved breathing. I'm Bruce Vail with the Wall Street Journal.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, Autotrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cash back or low APR, so you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. Autotrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. We have a caller. Cindy, we have a caller on the line, Mark from up in Cecil County.
Okay.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you all doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Well, I got a question about stingrays in the bay.
Stingrays. Cindy, can you handle a stingray call?
Well, I'm not the stingray expert. You know, we have our marine mammal sea turtle stranding, but I can refer you to our fisheries folks who probably know more about stingrays.
Well, let's see what Mark's question is. Go ahead, Mark.
All right. Here's the thing. I know that there are.
Plenty of them, yeah.
The reason I know that is my brother-in-law was stung by one last year.
I'm not surprised. Was it a cow nose ray or was it a southern stingray?
That one I don't know. I think it may have been a southern stingray because the aquarium said it looked like it came up from Australia.
Okay.
Okay, and they didn't know what to do for it at the hospital.
I'm not surprised, but that is a venom. I mean, I believe it's a venom-like substance. I'm not sure it's actually venom, but it is.
It's very, very much venom. It's still in his body. They can't get it out. He'll be suffering with that for the rest of his life. Even though they did as much as they could for him.
Yeah, I didn't. It is a neurotoxin, if I remember right. But
correct.
But I'll tell you who you can call, Mark.
Oh, I've already spoken about it. I just want to let you guys know.
Oh, no, I mean, I know a couple people that have been struck by stingrays, and I can tell you that there's one guy who's doing pretty well that may have some suggestions on his medical treatment.
Right, well, he's doing pretty good, okay? He lives in Pennsylvania. He's doing pretty good. Every once in a while, you can see that it bothers him.
Well.
He does it the best he can, but...
Okay, well, Mark, I appreciate the call. I wish thank you for the warning. We appreciate that, and I'm sorry you won't let me help you out there. So,
okay, you can. Help
no,
me out.
No,
great.
It's cool. It's cool. Have a good day. Thanks, Cindy. We appreciate your being with us and taking that call on stingrays. But let's get back to what we were talking about, the subject at hand. Now, you were talking about dolphins and interaction with dolphins right before the break, and we're talking about. Everybody thinks that once they see a dolphin, they've got Flipper running beside their boat. That's not exactly true, is it?
No. Dolphins are wild animals, just
yep.
like sea turtles are and whales are and manatees are. And it's
yep.
illegal to interact with them. So feeding them, harassing them by taking your jet ski and doing circles around them, all of that is illegal.
Right.
And the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act kind of govern that. And if you see any violations, we'd ask you to call that same 800 number, 800-628-9944. That's actually Natural Resources Police, and that's
right.
a 24/7 number. So any time of day, 7 days a week, you can call that number if you see violations.
Now, you've mentioned,
want to hear about that.
You've mentioned the National Marine Mammals Act, and you've also mentioned the Endangered Species Act. I do have one problem with that, and that is the listing of polar bears as an endangered species and listed it on the Marine Mammals Act as threatened or whatever the status is. I do have a problem with that, just so you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, I mean, the polar bear population has tripled since the 60s. And it was listed under President Bush and created a lot of problems for a lot of people in the outdoor world. So you may be well aware of that. And we're not exactly talking about a threatened whale or an endangered species, so to speak. The polar bear is doing quite well, thank you. So
yeah, what I know about them from a regulatory perspective is that the Fish and Wildlife Service has jurisdiction over them.
Right.
So years ago, they split the jurisdiction over the marine mammal species, and they are considered a marine mammal. So they and the polar bears and sea otters, walruses, and manatees are under the jurisdiction of the Fish and Wildlife Service, and whales and dolphins and some seals are under the jurisdiction of the National Marine Fisheries Service. So
right.
it's Department of Interior versus the Department of Commerce. But still, the laws kind of govern both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But luckily, we don't have polar bears to be concerned.
Well, I think
about
we
here.
Could. I mean, if we have, you know, if we have some of these Arctic seals that show up during the wintertime on the
yeah.
on the beaches of Ocean City, we could certainly have a polar bear show up here, and then they'd have to call you.
You know, we actually had sightings not this far south, but. Of a beluga whale in Massachusetts several years ago that
mm-hmm.
came down, I want to say, as far as New York, maybe New Jersey, and then went back up and was never seen again. So we know that they come down periodically, just like I said about the manatees
sure.
kind of wandering a little farther north, and belugas kind of sometimes wander a little farther south. And the seal populations that you mentioned, it's pretty interesting. In the past 10 or 15 years, we've noticed a lot more of the Arctic seals, the harp seals,
coming down and stranding. And the federal government has documented some seals as far south as Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And not infrequently in the Carolinas, they get some strandings of them as well. So we want to make sure that people know that if you see seals hauled out, just resting on the beaches, we have some around Ocean City periodically. They are still around but are just about to be leaving and heading back north. But it's illegal to interact with them as well. Don't take your dogs on the beach because they're all the diseases that they share can be passed between them. So,
oh, that's very good information.
Yeah, so
very
don't
good
have
information.
Your dogs on the beach with seals. Don't mess with them, that kind of thing. So, and
yeah.
Seals, of course, can bite and carry diseases as well. So just be careful around them.
As can dolphins, I believe.
You
mentioned dolphins. People
people
tend to want
to
throw a chunk of bait out there to the dolphins and get them to come close to the boat. And in some cases, they're injured by propellers. In some cases, people try to hand feed them and they get bitten. And
that's
they're not exactly the most friendly creature in the ocean, despite Flipper. They are predators of the highest degree.
They are. They're wild animals, and we'd like to keep them wild. So
sure, exactly.
Feeding them changes their behavior, and that's just not good for the population. Not good for people either.
Changes my behavior, too. Depends on what you feed me. But whale watching, let's talk a little bit about that. We do have whales off of our coast of Ocean City.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that the main injury is a crushed skull. When you find a whale washed up on the beach, and that's due to being struck by a boat.
Right, and we do have whales that come very close in. We have humpback whales that do that, and we have videos that people have sent us over the years in the last few years of humpback whales literally just beyond the surf zone feeding. You can see them with their mouths open as if that they're going along trying to catch some small bait fish in their mouths. So we know that they frequent the coastal areas, sometimes up in the Delaware Bay, so we have some wonderful species off our coast. Again, whale watching is one of those activities that the federal government has put out guidelines for, and they don't want you to get too close to them. So if you see a whale, you're supposed to turn your engine off and let the whale pass by if possible. Certainly don't approach the whale.
Yep.
And try not to separate mom from calf, or separate the pod, because that wouldn't be good for them as well.
Yep, and if you're going to watch them, limit your time to just a few minutes and let them be on their way. And
exactly.
Don't get any closer than a football field if you can help it.
That's right. That's a good measurement to use.
Yeah, people pretty much know what a football field is, 100 yards, 300 feet, that type of thing.
So. Yeah, so that's a really good way to put it. I think I'll use that from now on.
Well, there you go. How about that? Let me tell the folks one more time about a couple of our sponsors, and we'll get right back to you for the closing segment. Have that number ready again, 1-800-628-9944, and tell people when we come back where they can find this information that you and I are discussing, the downloadable brochures and things like that. If you want them to email you, email me or whatever, and we'll be more than glad to pass on that information on whale watching, interaction with dolphins, harp seal or seals, and sea turtles. We can do that. So let me tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. You can certainly call them at 410-242-6108. We detailed a few minutes ago all the things that they have. Let's just put it simply, if you need it and you want to go fishing, they've got it, especially live bait and reel repair. If you need it and you want to go hunting or for home protection, they've got the firearms and the ammunition and the gear and the holsters and the accessories that you need for that, too. You can check all that out on ClydeSports.com or visit them at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, Maryland, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That number is 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline is 247-347-4247-FISH, Clyde Sports Shop.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland Citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back with our guest, Dr. Cindy Driscoll, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. You are the marine mammal and sea turtle go-to person, right, Cindy?
That's right.
Indeed. Well, that's the music that ends the show. We want to welcome or say thank you for being on our show today. We want to give that number out for anybody that has any encounter with a marine mammal or a sea turtle, 800-628-9944. We mentioned that you would be able to give us a – is there one place where we can get all these documents on the marine mammals and so forth?
If you go to our website,
yep.
In DNR,
yep.
dnr.state.md.us.
Yep.